Well, it truly is the end of Christmas, isn't it? We took our Christmas tree to the recycling centre this week. All the Christmas decorations are packed up in the boxes. But you know what? I am not quite ready to say goodbye to Christmas for another year yet. I think there might just be a little bit of pantomime spirit left in you. Am I right? Oh, yes. Come on now. So I am going to use it to tell you about the first dictionary game that was ever played. Now, some of the guys at the front have been preparing. They know what I'm talking about now because we were doing a little bit of practicing before the service earlier. But for those of you at the back who might not remember quite how the dictionary game is played, it goes something like this. You find a fairly obscure word in the dictionary, and the quizmaster reads it out to you, along with three possible definitions. And you have to guess what the right definition is. And those of you who guess the right answer get a point, and those who don't get any points. Now, Judah and Kyle had thankfully prepared some for me earlier, and we had some fantastic words, didn't we? What was our favourite? What was that last one?
Zorbing.
Zorbing. Who knows what zorbing is? Oh, stop. Look, all the kids do now. And Dillis is looking rather pleased with herself that she does as well. I like that. So, we've been practicing at the front, but I bet you never realised that the Gospel of Matthew talks about the dictionary game. Did anyone ever know that? Has anyone ever played the dictionary game in Matthew? I just can't believe it. Well, later on today, if you go back and you look at Matthew 16 with your mums and dads, you'll see what I'm talking about. But we are going to use a bit of pantomime spirit to do it today with you. So, first things first. I told you there was a quiz master, but there have to be players. So the first player in this story is actually a partnership. They decided they couldn't do it by themselves, so they paired up. There's two of them. It's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They like their glasses. They actually don't like each other very much. But they have feel that in this game, it's vitally important that they pair up. So every time I say the words Pharisees and Sadducees, I want you to elbow the person next to you. Shall we all practice that? Pharisees and Sadducees. Just for that moment in time, you have to look like you don't like each other. You can like each other the rest of the time. So there's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Great stuff. Now the next player in the game are the people. Now the people are a little bit like your mam and your nan, who this Christmas would have taken a seat after they'd cooked Christmas dinner, had a cup of tea and gone, so every time I mention the people, I need you to pick up your imaginary cup of tea, take a sip, and go, ah. Are you all with us? The people. Ah. Brilliant. And finally, there's Peter. Now, Peter, he's a bit of an unpredictable live wire, and he's up for anything. He is the kind of man who would be given one of those remote-controlled aeroplanes for Christmas, but he would have destroyed it within 5 minutes by replaying the first episode of Lost. Lost is where there's a massive aeroplane crash and everyone is descended into the jungle. That's the kind of man he is. He's up for anything. So whenever I mention the word Peter, I want you to put on an American accent and I want you to go, come on. Can you all do that? Come on. Okay? Right. Now, I told you there has to be a quiz master. So, there's a word and there's a definition. So whenever I put on my quiz master hat, I need you to all shout, Jesus! Really loudly. So let's practice that.
Jesus!
Sorted. So we're all well. So when I do this, when I say Pharisees and Sadducees, when I say the people, when I say Peter, come on! When I put on my hat,
Jesus!
Sorted. We can go. Let's go. Jesus, Peter, come on! And the disciples were on the road. They'd been busy. Jesus had fed the 5,000. that had fed the 4,000, and he'd still had enough energy for a late night walk on water. When Peter, come on, saw Jesus have a go, he thought he'd like to have a go too. Now, even though he ended up getting a little bit wet, he saw that Jesus was really something special. It had all been going really well, but then the Pharisees and the Sadducees turned up. What are they up to? Thought the disciples. They don't even like each other. And they certainly don't like Jesus. The Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted Jesus to show them a sign from heaven. Now, from the outside, that looked like they really wanted to be a part of what was going on, doesn't it? But I can tell you that wasn't really the case. They were angry. Jesus has such a large following of people, and they wanted to discredit him, and they wanted to control what he was doing and stop the hordes of people that were following him. Well done. You want my definition of Jesus? I can tell you, we think he's a foolish, dangerous young man. He needs to listen to us, his elders, and stop all this ridiculous behaviour. Otherwise, I can tell you, there'll be trouble coming his way from us. They didn't say that out loud, but Jesus knew it anyway. That definition wasn't the right one. And Jesus wouldn't perform that sign they were asking for. He said to them, Pharisees and Sadducees, you're blind to the signs that are happening all around you. You need to open up your eyes. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind. See, Jesus was doing all kinds of signs, wasn't he? I just told you about the 5,000 and the 4,000 and the walking on the water. But his signs that he did were for love, because he loved and he cared for people. He wasn't going to be tested by people who were out to catch him out. So Jesus left them. But the game had started. The Pharisees and the Sadducees have put their cards on the table. Their definition of Jesus. But it was a dangerous game, because it wasn't only them who were angry and threatened by Jesus. It was all the authorities. They all knew what Jesus was doing. They were aware of him and his preaching, and they were not happy about it. So Jesus took the disciples for a walk. It was a long walk. In fact, I can tell you, it was a two-day walk. Just imagine, with no warning, being taken on a two-day walk. They walked all the way to Caesarea Philippi. Why did he do that? It was in the far north of Israel. It was out of the rule of the person who was over the land where Jesus was teaching. His name was Herod Antipas. It's a little bit like us thinking, do you know what? I don't want to be where the Taoiseach is. I don't want to be where the government is. I need to get out of here. And walking all the way up to Northern Ireland. 2 days walk from the Sea of Galilee. Because this is a dangerous game, this definition of Jesus. So, there's Jesus and Peter, come on, and the disciples sitting on a hill. They were looking at the people who were going about their daily lives. There were the dads walking to work. There were the kids running to school. Oh, look, and there's the mums running after the kids who've forgotten their packed lunches. It's all busy down there. And Jesus turns and says to the disciples, these people,
Jesus!
You want my definition? Oh, he's a lovely young man.
Just like my nephew, Stephen. His mum must be very proud of him. He left the family business, though, hasn't he? He's not a carpenter anymore, is he? He's just like that John the Baptist now. Yeah, that Elijah. Well, that Jeremiah's like one of those prophets. Always lovely. He's very good at the public speaking. He's very good at looking after us. He makes lovely bread.
Jesus continued sitting there. That was a nice thing for the people to say, but they had rather missed the point. That definition of
Jesus.
It was really nice. And you know, he seemed to remind them of somebody he knew. They knew, but they seemed to have rather missed the point. I think maybe Jesus was getting a little bit sad by now. He'd been teaching, he'd been meeting the people, but no one seemed to know what he was all about. So, there's one last chance. He turns to his disciples.
Jesus!
And Peter, come on! The unpredictable live wire blurts straight out. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is blown away. He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Peter, come on, had to pick the right definition, and the rest is history. See, Jesus had taken a risk playing this game and asking this question, because like that dictionary game we were playing earlier, other definitions can appear correct. Jesus always gives us the freedom to choose who we think he really is. And sometimes it can feel like there are many different ways of interpreting who Jesus is and what he was doing. And Jesus gave the disciples the freedom to maybe not make the right choice. We have the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus was just a misguided young man he needed to put into his place. Do you know why they were saying that? Because they didn't want anyone taking away their rule and their authority. They weren't even really looking at what Jesus was doing. They were so worried in themselves that someone might challenge them. They just shut their eyes to everything that Jesus was doing and was just blah, 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 blah. The people, well, they really liked him. They thought he was lovely. Quite right. They thought he was lovely. But they weren't really willing to be pressed beyond their experience. They understood about Jeremiah, they understood about Elijah, they understood about the prophets because they'd been taught about them. And they could kind of put Jesus in the same box. But they weren't thinking bigger than that. And that was what was so amazing about Peter. To us, when we hear that story, you know, it sounds, oh, come on. It sounds a really easy thing to say, because now we're 2,000 years down the line. We know the story. We know the ending. But just imagine if you were just a follower of Jesus, and no one had ever thought beyond the prophets. But then Peter, he took that step. Come on. God revealed to Peter that Jesus was more than just a good, holy man. He was the man. He was the one that the Jews had been waiting for. He was God's Messiah. And today, five of our young people have made that choice to take that step that Peter made. They have read about what Jesus did and who he said he was. They have all been a part of our church and seen that we as a people all believe that Jesus was God's Messiah. And today they've chosen that they believe it too. And they want to commit to following Jesus all the days of their life. And that's why it's just such a wonderful, wonderful day. But today I really wanted to remind us all that it's a stepping stone. Just as Peter, do you know what? If you go on and read the Bible, in the next few verses, he tries to stop Jesus doing what he was called to do, and Jesus has to give him some really harsh words. It's a telling off. But Peter is on a journey. Come on. He's on a journey, and do you know what? He's up for it. He's taking stepping stones. Each one is getting to know more and more what Jesus is like and what it means to follow him. So for you today who've been baptized, and for all those of you here who've made that decision to follow Jesus, do you know what? It's the best decision you'll ever make. But it's a stepping stone and it's a journey. I want to encourage each of you to read the Bible, to pray, to talk to people who you know who are Christians, and to keep coming to church so that you can press in on all that Jesus has for you. So we're going to finish, and I'm going to pray for each one of us that we might keep pressing into the definition of who really is, and be a part of that stepping stone journey that Peter, come on, joined in. So let's pray. So Jesus, we just thank you so much that the stories in the Bible are not just pantomime, that they are true and that they really happened. We thank you so much that you revealed yourself to us so clearly that now, 2,000 years later, we can see the truth that you really are the Messiah, the Son of God. And we just welcome your presence here today through your Holy Spirit, the truth of who you are, into our hearts afresh. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the excitement it is to be on a journey with you, to be taking those stepping stones. And I pray that you will continue to encourage us to keep pressing in, to get to know you more and more. And as Bethany said, to step out and do things for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you created each one and every one of us for your purposes, to have a hope and a future. And today we celebrate that and welcome the truth of that in our lives. And all the people said, amen. So we are going to join. Would you like to do the notices? Yeah.